Simshin Chafeg on Sifri Yud, the Mishabur Sifkat Nun Vav. So this opinion says it's mutter because it's possible for the Jew to go there. Leiluch Sham. Vimeina Yisro Yochel Leiluch Sham Ibn Sakonis Terachim. If it's a place which is not safe for a Jew to go. So then this, even according to this opinion, he's benefiting from the fact that the guy went for him, something which he couldn't do. Similarly, the water is only mutter for drinking. However, if I want to wash with that water, something which I would not be able to do, you couldn't do that in the boar because you couldn't take your kelim from the Rishus HaRabim into the boar. You could go yourself inside and drink, but you couldn't take your dishes inside to wash. So, again, you can't use the water for it because then you're benefiting from the water, something which you couldn't have done otherwise. So who do we paskin like? The main shita is not like this opinion, which is in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam. But like the other Rishonim would say that it's not mutter. Excuse me. At the bottom, the Shartzini brings it's the Re in the Tosis. It's the Rosh, the Ran, the Ritua, the Magen Mishnah. And he says that's the Das of the Rabbeinu Tam. Excuse me, the Rambam. The Rabbeinu Tam says it's mutter. The Miri. The Rashba. The Rabbeinu Yeruchim. And all of those hold that it's Osir. Chen Masha Megroba to Sefer Shabbos, the Sefer to Sefer Shabbos, and the Groba both, they seem to say that it's Osir. Barak the Tzarech Gadol, the Tzarech Shabbos. If you don't have another solution, so Yesh Yismach al-Zel l'Hakli rely on this opinion, to be able to use the water to drink. But the Motzi Shabbos, Yesh l'Hatam Miyad b'chol Gavni. But with that much we rely on this opinion, that Motzi Shabbos, we do not need to wait b'chdei sh'yei osu. Okay, then some said the chachil you're allowed to tell the goy, which is very difficult to understand. So Shabur of Yesh Matir Nun Zayin. Machronim nitka kuma oid b'tam adover. The logic that you should be allowed to tell the goy the chachil doesn't make any sense. Just tell me the Rebbeinu Tam Sevora that you're not really benefiting from it. So b'diyeh, but it's mutter, it's fine. But you can't tell the goy the melacha for you melacha deraisa. So this materium. Are difficult to understand the whole. Ah, Yesh Mekilim, the Besamach, the Yesh Mekilim, which you just mentioned, the Rabbeinu Tam, Lamatzino Shekilo Raklin, the Yevet, they said it, but the Yevet, it's all mutter to use. Avalo the Chachilo Lahatar, Amir, Leni, Hudi, Afilo, but Carmelis, you can't tell the God to do it, even by Carmelis, you can't tell. But Koshkin, Rishos Arabim, so this case it was Rishos Arabim, obviously you can't ask a God to do it for you. Gamash at Sian, Hamitzayan, Alzeb, Kolboy, if you look at them in the Ramah, in parentheses, it says that the source for this opinion that's mutter chachila is the kolboy, which is one of the rishonim. Kosev amagan ram the lenim says that kolboy. You look in the kolboy, there's no such statement. So this yesh materim, who is it? Agra kosev the hudas rav yo hamuvah beis yisrael b'shem shen zayin ayin shom. So they're going to then chanami. It's not the kolboy, but there is an opinion who says it. It's the Rav Yoh mentioned in Siman Shin Zayin in the Beis Yosef. So they say it's mutter, and my the minig is to do it not b'shus harabim at least, but the minig is the matter to tell any Yehudi to bring sheikhor or shar devorim. Shana dover shahu tzarach Shabbos k'sas. It has some need for Shabbos. People are mekel. There are people are the minig is to be mekel to bring a derech karmelis. This minig also applies to our Rishus HaRabim. So Lawton asked yesterday, where do we stand vis-a-vis the issue of the Rishus HaRabim? So we'll see later on. And the Carmelis is there's something which is clearly a Carmelis. It's in a field, and it's in a very small side path. Something's not a Rishus HaRabim. But nowadays, the criteria of Rishus HaRabim is it has to be 16 amos wide, made for the people to travel through there, and the Shulchan Aruch brings an opinion which you need 600,000 people traveling there on a daily basis. to be considered Rishus HaRabim. Now that is not in the Gemara. That's something which is mentioned in a Rashi and a Tosis. And the Mishnah Berurah Halacha in Simchat Torah Hey brings a whole list of Rishonim which agree with that. A whole list of Rishonim which agree with that. He comes out, it's not clear. And therefore, you should be Machram Yisofik. He's dealing with the question of the Raisa. And that's one of the issues which they have with Siti Erevin, is that you can't make an Erev around the Rishus HaRabim. So if you have a street which is 24 feet wide, well, it's three lanes, it's 24 feet wide. Right, so Arcola Avenue could be a Rishus HaRabim. University Boulevard is clearly Rishus HaRabim. Right, so how do you make an Erev around University Boulevard? Right, so the answer is, well, it's not a Rishus HaRabim because it doesn't have 600,000 people traveling there daily. Well, that's a machloekas, is whether that's a requirement to define Rishus HaRabim or not. So the Berurah Halacha comes out over there to be Machmer. The Maisa, however, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, both, and the Mogen Ram and the Taz, all seem to say that we deal with that not as Rishus HaRabim, we deal with it like a Karmelis. In other words, the minig of the earlier Poiskim, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and the Taz and the Mogen Ram, is that it's considered not Rishus HaRabim, and that's why our minig is to make Erevin. Not like the Berurah Halacha's question. So the Darkei Moshe, which we're saying that Darkei Moshe takes this minig, which we're meant to saying over here for a Karmelis, and he extends it into what our Rishus HaRabim. Our Rishus HaRabim means a Rishus HaRabim which doesn't have 600,000 people, which is dealt with as a Derabbanan.
Does everyone hold that a thoroughfare which is 16 amos wide is a Rishus HaRabim?
Well, the question is there another criteria to make a Rishus HaRabim that you need something else besides that? That you need a volume of people or not? Everybody agrees with that, but one of the definitions of Rishus HaRabim is 16 amos wide, made for passage. There is a piece of Rav Menashe Klein which he deals with if it's made to travel by car, in cars, is that different? Or is it the case of the Gemara was people traveling by foot? Or in wagon, right? But in other words, do you deal with a car? Possibly is different in the sense that a car is large enough just to be its own Rishus HaYachid. So you know we have 600,000. Let's say we had 600,000 people, but they're traveling in their little boxes. You know, each one their own private Rishus HaYachid. How do you deal with that in halacha? What is that called?
But isn't it really the Rishus HaYachid if they're in a public area?
Yeah.
It's not like a person's own house.
Well, Rishus HaYachid, it's not a question of ownership, it's a question of, it's defined by a certain size, etc. So, that's one of his issues that he raises. So, theoretically, in certain roads, also, it's not clear, also, he says 600,000 people travel there, the time span is also not so clear. Does it mean every day? Does it mean over a period of a week? What is that? Does it mean 6,000 people traveling on these 5 inches? You know, you put a counter there. Does it mean along the length of this whole road, there's 600,000 people traveling? Well, define the road. Where does the road start? Where does the road begin? There's, like, you know, I remember, I've just found it fascinating that I was traveling. It's fascinating, you know, the cute things that you think of. And I drive up to Philadelphia, and you travel on the 295, so you pass a Route 322. 322 is Mayfield Road in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. It's the same Route 322. Or I was in the Rhode Island, I was traveling on Route 6. Route 6 is Euclid Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. It's called Route 6. Well, it travels. So, I mean, from Cleveland out to there, it's 600,000 people traveling. So where do you define? There's a lot of questions you have to define. When you say you have a criteria of 600,000 people, not, okay, now, I mean, this space of 600, but whatever the answers are, you know, does it tell the bend? Well, if the road goes straight, it tells the bend. Maybe it's a different road already, you know, halachically. So.
Can I ask a naive question then? So why, after so many years of us talking about a Rishus HaRabim, why do we have such a big question on what exactly it is and how do we define it? How did we get into this situation?
How do we get into the situation? Well, Rashi and Tosfos are the ones who are the first ones to mention it. Okay. But on the other hand, I mean, we definitely learned the definition of Rishus HaRabim from the Midbar. In the Midbar, there were 600,000 people. It's not like it's something which is totally foreign. So, in that definition, we learned it. What exactly does it mean? Did they have a breakdown? You know, was there, when Rashi mentioned it, what were they doing until Rashi? They were saying it is Mesar Rabim? Possible. You know, was it a question of Mesar? I'm sure Rashi felt he had a source for it.
Is there any room for a Sfix Feika?
There's room for a lot of the things. You know, the question was, when you talk about making an area around Brooklyn, making an area around Manhattan, this is the question. Those are areas which have a tremendous amount of people there moving through that. And you make an area around Tokyo, you know, 14 million people, and there's a lot of people traveling through there, you know. This is what it hinges on. You know, Minhag Yisrael basically was not like the Mishnah Berurah. Minhag Yisrael was to consider it the unique 7,000 people traveling on that road. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe holds that you don't need 7,000 people traveling on that road. You need 7,000 people in the area. There is, if I have an area which I mark up an area which is the size of the encampment of the Jews in the Midbar, which is not so large. And I have 7,000 people in that area. Any road in that area which is wide enough is considered Rishus Rab. So according to Mercer, every street in Brooklyn, almost, unless you have a little dinky wide, you know, side, very, you know, any 3-lane road is Rishus Rab. Also, you count. You remember, you have to count whether you count the sidewalks, because there's no break between the sidewalk and the road. So you start counting from sidewalk here to sidewalk there. You have 16 amas. And it's in an area which has 7,000 people. It's just a problem. So it's impossible to make an area around Brooklyn or Manhattan. That's where Moshe's true. People disagreed with him and made a Rupert. That's very, very small, encapsulated source of that issue. Okay. Anyway, so that's that one line over there, Mr. Berman, Sifkatan and Tess. Sifkatan and Samach. Now, he says you should be Macher. This heter of shoes to shoes, we say it's two drabonans, and for a valid need, it's mutter. It's only if it's tzarech gadol or full fledged mitzvah. Kagan shoot tzarech hamashka lekiddush, alavit havshel hakam shehuchen l'sur shabbos. He gives two examples. You need liquid for, so you need something to say kiddushan. That's a mitzvah gemura. Or the basic on the Shabbos of the meal, they didn't have like 17 courses. They had a hot food, that was the meal, right? So to be able to have the hot meal, so how did they get it home? It was in the they used to keep in the baker's oven. Many cities they would keep in the baker's oven. That was the only oven which was, you know, large enough and hot enough to maintain the heat that it would keep all of the pots warm. They'd have to bring it home. So they tell the guy to bring it if there wasn't an Erev, etc. So that would be mutter. That would be shus to shus. It's where Carmel is telling the goy for valid tzarech. But, you know, to bring something else, you know, it's not so important. So this minig is questionable. But the more so, you can't stop the mechilim. Samachal, vein limchus. V'kaponim l'yimtin mos eni huri al zeh, you shouldn't pay the goy. Mogan Avram. Let the guy pick it up, let the guy put it down. We spoke about this before, that the malach of Hitzah has three parts to it. The malach of Hitzah is the item has to start out at rest in Rishus A. You know, Rishus A, for, let's say, for the argument's sake, would be in a house, Rishus Yachid. So it's at rest. And we do an act of picking it up and taking it out of its state of rest. That's called akira. Then it's transported from the shesiyach to the shesirabim, and then you put it down in the shesirabim, the hanocha. So you're putting it down in the shesirabim. That's the act of. So the malacha isn't just the transfer point, but the picking up and putting it down. So the Jew shouldn't be part involved in the malacha. So let the guy pick it up, let the guy put it down.
How do we define the boundary of a Carmelis to a Rishus or Rabin?
A Carmelis is either, what what we mentioned before in Sivkat and the test is if you don't have the criteria of 600,000, halachically it's the equivalent of a carmelist. But let's say you don't have that criteria, so then anything which is made for the purpose of people moving people through there, and it's wide enough, is considered shisurab. It's not wide enough, it's a carmelist, or it's not made for moving people through there, say a field, a person's backyard, these things, if they're not enclosed, they're not made for they're not made, even if they're wide, they're not made for people walking through there. That's not its function, they'd be a carmelist. Some obeys, so you can't protest against those which are meiko if they're doing it on the Tzarech Shabbos. Kosu akhrenim, they come welcome in the hokal elabit v'sheichu, ki yetzim is that meidorim and tzichim the Shabbos. It should be something which you need. She yavshaliyah is below them elabit v'chuktsas. It would be difficult without them. Avodorim shein tzichim kolkach, ki yon peris ki yetzim is that, it's just some fruit, and the hokal you should not be meiko. You want to do it for that to enjoy Shabbos. That's very nice. But therefore, Yofa Oisim Hamashalchim Ayere Eni Hudi Migdonis Lareach Ulachosin Chutz LeEriv. They're sending outside of the Eriv a guest, a Chosin. They're sending him Migdonis presents of food. You know, some type of a dish to honor them, something of that sort. That's improper because that's not a real need. So the gears are not and, it's not, you don't have two criteria, you have either one as a valid criteria. Okay. Yud Aleph. Sif Yud Aleph. So we spoke about the case where the goy drew water, the goy drew water for himself, and we have concern that he might do extra for the Jew. Now that the goy reaped, cut off some grass, you know, some hay to feed his animal. So we have the same issue. If the goy doesn't know, if the Jew is not friendly with the goy is not known to the goy, so then the Yisrael can use the remainder afterwards. Now here you have a problem that it's muksa. Because it was at the beginning of Shabbos, it was attached to the ground. So you can have your animal eat it. It's not also b'hanoah, but you can't pick it up to give it to him. So how exactly do you do that? Shoymin b'faneha, b'inyan shalotucho lintos ela derech shom. You sort of box the animal in a way, you sort of, and you can't schlep the animal either. So you sort of encourage the animal by it starts to turn right, you block it that it can't turn right, and it eventually gets to where it has to go. Deal with Hamidim Aleim, also you can't actively put the animal directly on top of them to eat. So Shin Hashem Yitol B'yodah V'yachilano V'heim Moksim, because the natural thing is to pick it up and feed the animal, and that's what he might do, and that's also because it's Moksa. So they said, you know, you have to do, you can't do it directly and bring the animal there, you have to sort of flank him in such a way that he'll be forced to go there. Avo. Imakiroi is also. If the goy knows the Jew, so then it's also because they're afraid that the goy might do extra for the Jew. Any situation where we're afraid the goy will do extra for the Jew, it's also. Now, Avodar Shaleka Lamecha Shemar Yarba Bishuloi. It's a type of malacha where there's no need to do extra. We both can benefit from the same malacha equally without doing extra. So then, for example, Kanshe Hidlik Ner La'atzmoy, or also Kevish Labored by, the more you get the two examples, a person going to the Ner. So, the more says Ner Lecha, Ner Lameya, we all can use the same light. I don't need, he doesn't have to light extra light for the Jew, they both can benefit. So the Goy does it for himself, even if he knows the Jew can benefit from it. Or the case was the ship docked and they needed to. They didn't have a ramp to allow them to get down from the ship onto the land, onto the port. So he fashioned a kevish, which is a ramp. The kevis is a sheep. He didn't fashion a sheep. He fashioned a kevish. Okay? So he made this ramp. Well, once you have a ramp, you know, you don't need everybody can use it because one ramp works for everybody. You don't have to make extra ramps. So the near echad or bekevish echad, yaspik lakala would be sufficient for everybody. I feel my kiro is mutter if he did it for himself. Okay. Some mishabrus of cotton samach dalit. The tzarech b'tam to the goy gathered these asavim for the animals his goy's animals needs. Now l'da'asa yesh mekilim anal. According to the yesh mekilim which we mentioned in Sifyun, which is the Ben Otam Shita. Av kishalita l'tzarech b'hemis Yisrael, when the goy picked it for the Jewish animal, so he did it for a Jew. So l'chara you cannot benefit from the malacha that he did. It's still mutter. The halacha is we allow an animal, even though the halacha of shisas behemtzah, we mentioned before that the animal in Shin Chavtal, we mentioned that an animal can't do work on Shabbos, work being defined as lamed tes malachas. However, the animal is allowed to do the act of reaping something, pulling something out of the ground and eating it, because that's part of the menucha for the animals to be able to graze. So that's not called malacha for him. And the Chazal didn't ask her even, well, we're afraid maybe you'll rip it out and give it to the animal. Again, what you have to do is you do this idea of you sort of flank him and get him to box him in so he gets to the field, as opposed to directly leading him there and putting him on there to eat. That you can't do. But you could get the animal there and have the animal eat. So the fact that the goy chopped it off and brought it to you, that's not called a hanoah card in the middle of time, because you could have gotten it anyway. If in a case where the animal we couldn't reach there, it was on the other side of the river because you can't cross the river, or if you're scared to go there, like we said before, because it's dangerous or because you're afraid that they may be able to steal the animal, or there's only they're very short, which is very hard to graze on, but it's easier if you cut them off. So according to the Yesh Mekilim, that's going to be mutter. But Abashar Poskim lo yichilku bazeh veikir kamoisim mechanal. We mentioned before that most Poskim disagree with the Ben Otam, and that the main sack is not like the Ben Otam. Achim u'shas atchak shen Yisrael asavim, in the case where the Jew has nothing to feed his animal. Kasa b'chayarim l'yochol ismach al dasa Yesh Mekilim and now you're allowed to rely on the Yesh Mekilim and v'lorma l'an Yehudi she'echilera l'behemtoi afilu im liket on the Tzarech Yisrael, you're allowed to have the goy take his animal there to feed, or he will flank the animal, encourage the animal to get there, even though the goy picked it for the chew. B'chem yimilei en yehudi mayim, I mean in the harbin mokum shechela b'hem la'atzel le'lech lishtus. It's a case of the animal where the koi drew water from the river. So he said, a well doesn't work for an animal because he can't really climb down in there and get the water. A person could. But a river, on the other hand, we said yesterday, an animal could drink from a river. So it's not called benefiting. According to Ben Otam, it wouldn't be called benefiting when the animal, the koi brought water, because theoretically you could have went to the river. He has no other water to give it, the animal. So in that situation, we need to give the animal water, but we'll rely on the Ben Otam. But to ask him to do it, not to bring the animal there once it's been caught, but to go and cut the asavim for the animal, so obviously that's aser. That's an Isidarais. V'chein l'rmele en Yehudi d'malas mayim in a borsha v'shus yachid v'shus harabim v'chol yin azosha. You can't ask a goy to do the malach of the rice of taking the water out of the well into v'shus harabim. Achim sava borhu karmelis. So if the area where you're taking the water out of the well is v'shus yachid, the area around it is a karmelis. So it's an Isidarabana. So you're asking the goy to do it, it's two darabanas. Matasham, Klaus Samabez, Ayade and Yehudi, Mishum, Sar are Baal Lichem. If no other one available, so you ask the guy, that's Sar Baal Lichem, and that's Mutter. The real need of the animals is they have some water during the day, so that you've taken care of. So you have no head to do it twice. Obviously, have a Jew to do it, that's still going to be yes. We're not going out to Nisha to Rabbana because it's Sar Baal Lichem. The Sharatzion in Samach Dalet at the bottom says that regards to this issue of Amir La'akum, the last line over there in the Sharatzion, V'amma mistar b'dav shesarabim shalonu gam ken yesh l'dunu k'karmelis b'mokam atcha k'linyan Amir La'inihudi. In case there's a necessity, we'll deal with our shesarabim like a karmelis, and therefore it's asking a goy is tutur abanons. In a case you need to, so you rely on it. That's assuming the Mishnah Berurah is a yes, assuming like the other Achronim and the Shulchan Aruch, etc., that we deal with our Rishon Rabbim as a Carmelist, at least in a case of necessity. We'll rely on that opinion. As regards to Mir La'akum, not talking about Jew doing an Issa D'Raisa, potentially, talking about, at worst, it's an Issa D'Rabbana. Right? You ask the Goy to do Rishon Rabbim Gemur. Okay, but still in the D'Rabbana, it's not a D'Raisa. Still, just in Rilakum, the guy is doing it, not you. So then you'll be make rely on that. Samach hey, Machalach Rabbi Yisrael, the Muksa Mutzer Bano, because there's no way to be benefiting from Muksa. Now there is that being said, it's not so simple. I spoke about this before. That there are two separate Yisrael and Muksa. There's one Yisrael and Muksa, which is based on the pasuk Bechinas Asher Yaviu, to use an item on Shabbos of Muksa is based on a pasuk, and that's an asmachta, and that's more chomer than kaiser. And you say Safak Muksa, and the gabi that is also the gabi hishtamshu is an achila, and the gabi tiltal that's a derabanan, a clear derabanan. The gabi that you'd be mekel. So Mutzer b'hanoa, but the Jew is actively doing something with it to use it for something, that's more chomer than just hanoah. That's hishtamshus, and that already we deal with muksa more chomer. And that's not mutter. Okay, samach vav. Avi makiroi. So, but the Shulchan Aruch said if the goy knows the Jews, they're afraid he might have harvested and reaped extra grass, did the malach of harvesting. For the Jew. Now, Minasasim and Bechar, but the Shulchan Aruch did not differentiate. He left this point nebulous without giving any more clarification. So, Masha the Af, Im Shalab Yifnei Yisrael, Liket, Osir Gam, Imekir. Even if the Jew wasn't there, but since they're friendly to each other, so it's possible he did it for the Jew. He'll do extra for the Jew. Chipasel Kamachredim. In Echredim, passing like that, he brings the Taz, Ayurabah, and the Groh. Now, again, Hakaponim bein sheyeda Yehudi b'shas malach tosh esarch lizay Yisrael makira. The guy is aware the Jew needs it. Toshach lemigzor sheyichav on the harvest of shalai. But then, where there's a concern, the guy will do extra for the Jew. But otherwise, not like why should he do it for the Jew? V'yesh poskim hamakira m'shasam lafili im kvar also any Yehudi blo yada oz sheyisil tzarich. The guy did it, not being aware the Jew needs it. So the Jew wants to benefit from it afterwards. Also, imakir is also. Now, after im v'zeh chashash yabav v'shiloi b'shabbos zoi. But imagine the Jew will use it after the guy. So the guy couldn't have done extra for the Jew this Shabbos because he didn't know the good Jew needed it. But now next Shabbos, when the guy goes and rips off some hay for his head, and you know last Shabbos, hey, you know my neighbor Herschel, you know, needed some extra hay, so now next time he'll do it for the Jew. The mamasha, the henna mimalata, yagilu la harvest, bishalai bit la shabbos acheris, lays a tzarek, yesh la hokobaz. So he brings those in the makhmer and said that the concern of Yabba Bishalai is not what right now, but over the relationship, that's a possibility.
So is that saying that just because you know him, that's almost like Amir al-Akam, like you're going to ask him straight out to go ahead and do it? Is that?
No, if the guy's going to do it for you without asking.
He's going to do it, but that's equivalent then to Amir al-Akam.
The guy doing malacha for you is something that's... We spoke about, there are three divinity servants in Amir al-Akam, right? Yeah. So one of them is me asking the guy, one is the guy doing work for me. So he's doing work for me, without me asking him, but he's still doing work for me.
Seems that there's a big misconception that if you don't tell the goy to do malacha, they can do whatever you want.
So
I was once at someone's house and they said, you know, we don't tell her to do anything, but, you know, she intuitively knows what, you know, if there's something that you need.
Right, so that's a problem. That's Mama Shasar. We said that if he knows him, it's Usr. Hanarakat la'erav, Dain Sarach, Lidham, Shia Usr. But after Shabbos, immediately it's Mut. If it's something which you could share with no need to do it extra, then no reason to make it Zayr, Mutr, the Hafta, seven, the Esr, Mishum, Shabbos, Acher, is I next Shabbos will do. I could have said. The Chashidim is Shia Usr, Mishal Yisrael, Atzim, the Shabbos, Acher. In other words, the gzera was that when the goy will do for himself next week, he'll do a little bit extra for the Jew. It wasn't that he'll do it just for the Jew alone. That it wasn't the gzera. So, well, over here, right, if he does the next Shabbos, if he does the nair for himself on the yid, it's also mutter. Talk about the Rosh Yasa La'atzma, Chashin and Shema Yarba Bishwa Yisrael, Avalosh Yasa Bishwa Yisrael Lavadi. He's not that nice. So, you know, I don't need to hate this Shabbos. Let him go out to the field and schlep some because Herschel needs some. You know, that's not what we're worried about. We're worried about he's doing anyway. Why not do a little bit, you know, be neighborly? Okay, Yud Beis. Abba Bisha Eino Makira. In a case where they're not necessarily friendly, they're not known. Imam Beferish the Tzarech Yisrael Hoyes. So the Goy says explicitly, I'm doing it for the Jew. Oh, I feel Eino Makira. It doesn't say so, but Umaisa Mechichim, but from his action, it's obvious that Tzarech Yisrael Hoyes, he's doing it for the Jew. Because he looked near Bebeis Yisrael, Bebeis Yisrael Boy, Behalach Lo'en Yehudi. The guy lit it and then walked away. So, who's he doing it for? He ain't doing it for himself. So then it's also, so the Jew cannot benefit from that work. So the guy comes in and says, wow, it's dark in here. I feel bad for you. Turns on the light and walks out. Or he just walks in. So you can't benefit from it. Mr. Burris of Cotton Samatas, I remember a farish. Russell Armour. And that's a situation where even if the goy did it, use it for himself also at the beginning, since he said explicitly, I'm doing it for the Jew, you still can't benefit. Not sure what he means, referring to exactly in Sefov. Okay. Holochloy. Now, when he stamished by Mum, he didn't use it. So the guy didn't say explicitly he's doing it for the Jew, but he didn't do it for himself because he didn't benefit from it. So why did he do it? Now. If the guy doesn't leave, it sounds like he's going to look at his pen and stick around and use it, so then I can use. He didn't do it for me, he did it for himself, and then already we said it's mutter. So I can use it even before he used it, since he looks like he's planning to use it. He looks like he lit it for the purposes of using it eventually. He sends you back to Sef Yod, Dibramaskol Lahashkos. The language over there says the Mashka Acharov Yisrael Acharov afterwards. So if the guy goes first. So we figure he obviously he's doing it for himself. But he says, if a case where you could, obviously he's doing it for himself also, even though he didn't use it first, the Jew can benefit even before they actually did it. Okay.
This sort of reminds me of, so how do we view children in relation to what we're saying here about Eino Yehudi? If they would just do something for themselves and you, if it was clear they did it for you, then you wouldn't be able to use it, but if they did it for themselves, then so you could benefit. So how does a kid in your house that leaves the light on, let's say?
Right, so you have to stop him. There's no hetzer to, you know, a parent has a chiyuv to stop a child from doing it. Sure. Doing it, but if he did it, so you would. The law is, if he's doing it al das, the father can't benefit. He's doing it clearly for himself, so you would be allowed to benefit from it. Which they bring over here a machlokes seen from Shlomo Zalman and Ruchaim Kanievsky. The father asks the kid to do something. The kid forgot to do it. Come Shabbos, he realizes he forgot to do it. And he's scared the devil out of his father. So he does it, you know, when nobody's looking, he does it, you know. His father should be upset at him. Then the father realizes what happened. He really did it on Shabbos. Is that because he did it for the father? Is that because he did it for himself? He didn't do it for the father. He did it because he shouldn't get, you know, have his hide tanned, right? So Ruchaim Kanievsky says it's called he did it for the father. The purpose of here is the father should get the benefit of the Rosh Hashanah. No, he's called doing it for himself. So Yud Gimel Im Likud Eino Yehudi Behechol Behemes Yisrael. The guy picked it and fed the Jew's animal. I didn't ask him to do it. He decided to do it himself.
He wasn't afraid of his father.
What?
If he wasn't afraid of his father, then he would be doing it
more for the father.
Right.
And then it'd be a problem. Because here, you could argue he's doing it for himself because he's scared. Right. There's a chaperon right over here. Yud Gimel. Im Likud Eino Yehudi Behechol Behemes Yisrael. And Tzarech Limchus Beyad Lefisho Avlim Roga Bekach Tzarech Limchus. If one time the guy did it, you don't have to stop him, but you shouldn't be doing this on a regular basis. You know, Ayin Aleph, it's Tzarech Limchus Beyad, Milo Lakit L'Hachol Abayim, you don't have to stop him from picking and feeding the animal. Kim Hen Oysa Zeb Tzibi Yisrael, Al Meyat, he's doing it on his own, the Jew didn't ask him to do it. Rabbeinu Lavla Hanos Yisrael Mechav, and his goal isn't to make the Jew benefit, Al Adai Tanav Shei Oysa K'nel Arviach, Chen In Tzarech Limchus Beyad. He wants the benefit out of it. He has the benefit out of it. So God comes on his own to put out the fire. You don't have to stop it. The guy picked it and the Jew was using it to feed. There he's being the hand of a dime. He's actively using it to benefit. If the guy picked it on his own for himself, then the Jew asked him, "Can you feed my animal?" So right to the same problem. Avol im rogo, do what rakarum abalmavosa. Then it already becomes a game. Right, the guy's doing it on a regular basis. You know that the guy's doing it for you. So it's basically, you know, it's like having the guy do something for you. That's going to be awesome. Okay.